This is Let's Talk Big, the Big Read with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel. The Owens Community College Campus Read is taking place now and throughout the semester with the goal of bringing awareness of different perspectives through books. The Campus Read book is Carrie, a memoir of survival on stolen land, from 2020 recipient of the NEA Creative Writing Fellowship, Tony Jensen. It's a memoir and essays about gun violence, land, and indigenous women's lives. Now, sharing passages, topics, and events related to the book, Carrie, a memoir of survival on stolen land, is Owens Community College Director of Library Services, Jane Berger, and Professor of English, Jen Hazel.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Jen Hazel. I'm here with Jane Berger and Chief Harrison, and we're here for the second half of our interview with him.
Well, what's your take on this? I mean, not to get political or anything, but what is your take on the NRA who says it's not guns that kill people, it's people who kill people, which is absolutely true. I mean, I grew up in Michigan where hunting is a big sport. And, you know, my uncle was a police officer. He hung his gun on a hook in the going down to the basement. And we all knew, don't touch it. We just knew. And, you know, obviously things have changed as families have changed and whatnot. But I don't know. I still have, if there wasn't such easy access, I mean, you can even make a gun now on a 3D printer. I know that it's, you have to have a person to shoot the gun, but do you think, in your personal opinion, that a tougher way to get guns could help alleviate some of the problem, or they'll just figure out a way to get it anyway? I mean,
yeah, and you're correct that you know, that's a hot button issue right now.
Yeah, it's I don't want to get political.
And I think when two sides of the political spectrum get involved, it's counterproductive in trying to solve the problem. But you did make also another good point. Is years back there were guns. Everyone had guns in their homes.
Right.
I remember a story of an old-time officer that brought up in one of our trainings that he remembers. He grew up in the country, and he remembers hunting season at the school. You know, kids that hunted would leave their firearms in the truck because you could see it on the gun rack.
Right.
So there's something over time in our society that is troubling. We don't know why such violence is occurring.
Yeah, it would flip the switch to the other side.
So, you know, to answer your question, you know, people who want to do harm to another person will find a way to do it.
Yeah, you're right.
And yeah, the overwhelming majority of firearms owners are responsible people, but you know,
well, it's the same thing. That's what we hear of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many people own guns, but what we hear of are when they're misused,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we hear of.
That's
right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, it certainly makes it easier to inflict harm to another person, because you know you're talking about the distance, farther distance than it would to use a bladed weapon against somebody.
Sure.
So
sure.
That's the big problem, one of the big problems with the firearm violence.
These numbers are just very sobering to me, that the high percentage, and as you said, over time it's just gotten worse. So what is the cause of that? Why have things changed so much? You know, has our society sped up some so that people feel more pressure, and the pressure is, you know, causing people to just have less tolerance or patience? You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's an interesting thought, Jane. Like, tolerance, patience, like in the moment I want to react to something.
Right.
Yeah, instead of stopping for a minute and like thinking about it.
Well, we have become, before we started the podcast, we were talking a little bit about, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, you know, you had to wait for things because it's just the mm-hmm. way it was. There was no Amazon. So, you know, you ordered something from the JCPenney catalog, and in 5 to 7 days, if you were lucky, it, you know, you could pick it up at the store. And now things are so much more instantaneous, so we have become accustomed to that. So I think our fuses are a little quicker to flare when things aren't happening in the way that we want time-wise. I don't know. Anyway,
you know, to go back to the good old days type of talk that we were just talking about. You, if you think back, we didn't see the violence on TV, you know, like we do today.
Yep. I've wondered about that too, and the video games, you know, and then we had that little thing called that pandemic that kept us all isolated, and I don't think that did any of us any good. And, you know, loners tend to be, I mean, I think if we quote-unquote profiled, we would see that people who are more alone or considered loners do more harm, you know, statistically. That's just off the top of my head, so check me. Go to the library, look at a database. I'll help you.
Yeah, and, you know, what's interesting and what's important to us is being in higher education is some of the stats, because we've had several very high-profile incidents on college campuses where there's been mass shootings. I looked at one of the stats, and since 1966, there have been 12 mass shootings. Now, remember, mass shootings is
three or more
incidents where three or more people are killed or injured. So there's been 12 since 1966, which has resulted in 23 deaths and over 30 injuries.
And that's interesting. I listened to a podcast not that long ago that talked about one in the 70s, and it was interesting because I don't think many of us think about it until Columbine.
Yep.
Like happening, and someone was like, wait, there was, you know, and I was like, yeah, I listened to a podcast.
Well, we didn't have 24-hour a day, 7 days a week news either.
In the same way.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that's, and I didn't even realize we're talking from the 60s.
Too. Yeah.
So I didn't realize.
And not to, you know, feel like I live in, you know, la-la land, but I've worked at Owens on and off since 2000, and I can honestly say kudos to you and your team. I have never felt unsafe, ever. And I work at night. I work on Saturdays. I've come in on the... In fact, I came in on the weekend when our library moved, and the lights were not working properly, so I'm walking through with my phone, and I turned around, and there was an officer who I didn't know, because I usually don't come in on the weekend, and he said, just wondering, ma'am. He says, I figured you belong here because your swiper card worked. He says, but did you need some help? I'm like, I thought I was going to go through the ceiling. He scared me so much. But there's always somebody that you can call if you ever feel, you know, concerned about something, I guess. But I can honestly say I've never, ever felt unsafe on this campus.
That's a really good point. I used to, not recently, but probably like 10 years ago, 8 years ago, used to teach a lot at night. And I remember my parents being concerned about it at first. And I was like, no, like I'm never, I don't feel in any way, shape, or form of that.
And even more now, with our location being right across the parking lot from Alumni Hall, and, you know, I think if I yell loud enough, somebody would come running. But when the library was across the street, there was always an Owens police officer trolling the parking lot at 8 or 9 o'clock, depending on when we closed. And I just always felt so thankful. I think we're in, and again, I'm not trying to, you know, say, oh, we're, you know, in Shangri-La here, but I think your department does a great job of being visible and being responsive and keeping things safe for everybody, you know, who works and comes to school here. So kudos to you guys.
Thank you. I'm happy to hear that.
And
thank you.
So speaking on keeping safe, what are some things that we can do if we would feel unsafe, or to keep our eye out for something that might be happening? Because I think that might be, many people don't know. Like I said, I admitted when we started here, like I know very little about guns, very little about guns.
Right.
Like, which is kind of wonderful at one and then not so great in another sense.
Well, and even though we feel safe here, doesn't mean that you need to let your guard down. I mean, I'm aware of my surroundings, and I'm, you know, looking around, and I had asked maintenance to trim a shrub right next to our door that we leave out of at night, because you know, anybody could hide in there. But, you know, so you still have to be smart. But probably things like that, you know, could help.
Yeah, it's really important to say something. You know, the old, you think it was Homeland Security, took that right after 9/11, to see something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really good rule of thumb. When you think something's not right, speak up, call us. Call, you know, 661-7575. You know, call,
yep.
Call DPS, let somebody know. You know, if you're not comfortable calling, you can remain anonymous. You know, students not comfortable talking to police, maybe they can let somebody know, a trusted mm-hmm. advisor, an instructor, just say something.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that I really stress that is, you know, these targeted attacks, now separate from the random violence, but the targeted attacks can be prevented. There's really quite a few incidents where these mass attackers have either said something prior to an attack, or there's been concerning behaviors. So it's really, really important. I was just looking at the Parkland shooting, and there were just so many signs, so many indicators, so many red flags that, you know, weren't followed up on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it really...
Even the young man in Oxford, Michigan. I mean, his parents had just been called in for a conference. And, you know, he had friends who said, yeah, you know, he said, you know, he's, look, I just got this gun. It's so fun. And, you know, oh, look what I'm going to do. So...
Yeah, I just recently got certified as a behavioral threat assessment and management and master trainer through Homeland Security. So that's where we really studied these targeted attacks. And people that are planning attacks, research has shown that they move on what we call a pathway to violence.
Mm-hmm.
There's really six general steps that these attackers do before they actually carry out an attack, and these steps are not linear, but you know, it's grievance. It starts out with a grievance. Mm-hmm. There's ideation. They look at previous attacks that have been carried out.
Mm-hmm.
So they go into a research and planning mode where they're looking at, you know, what they're going to do, the purchasing weapons, things like that. Then they prepare, you know, they might breach their target, meaning they're going to check to see if they can get in areas where they can't access.
Mm-hmm.
They might call in false calls of something that would draw the police or security away to just to check how long their response time were, or how, you know, they would respond.
I didn't even think of that one.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Then, you know, to carry out the attack. But, you know, they can move. You know, it's not linear. They can, you know, maybe have the grievance, go right to planning, you know, maybe then go back. So, you know, it's not linear. But, again, when you keep in mind that, you know, these attackers do tell people before their attack, or indicate that they're going to carry out an attack, you know, this is where we can step in. Institutions should have a behavioral threat assessment team in place. It's multidisciplinary, so it not only is it LE, it's, you know, counselors, you know, administrators, things like that, groups like that, and forming a multidisciplinary team. You know, when they get information about somebody suspicious, then they can start looking at this and, you know, define the level of where this person may or may not be at, and take steps to move them off the pathway of violence. So,
wow, this is a lot of just awesome information to be aware of, and that's the purpose of our big read and this podcast, is to bring awareness to things so that people can change behaviors and know, you know, what to do. It's as simple as, like you said, just paying attention, really, to try to maybe stave something off. But dang, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. We are way longer than we normally are.
I know, but so much good information.
It's so much good information today and so important. If you listen to one of our podcasts this semester, listen to this one. And please. So on behalf of myself, Jen Hazel, Jane Berger, and Chief Harrison, keep talking big.
Catch Let's Talk Big on Outkast OCCR Owens Community College Radio every Thursday at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 7 p.m., and 10 p.m., and at various times throughout the week. Or listen anytime on the Owens Outcomes Student Media Center YouTube channel. Let's Talk Big on the Owens Outcomes Student Media Center YouTube channel. Be sure to like and subscribe. And join us again here for Let's Talk Big, The Big Read with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel.